Gallery. There's whistling and then there's whistling. Praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome you again to the Better Life Roseburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some of us are always here. We have our spot where we sit. And I'm glad you do because that helps me remember. But also, there could be some of you that are here for the very first time, and we're so glad you're here. This is the place to be. Roseburg. Before we get into this morning's message. Right, there we go. I have a few announcements to make. One is, I'm so sorry for last week's mix-up about Vespers. Some of us made it out to the coast, and some of us came here thinking Vespers was going to be happening. But today, Vespers will happen at 6:30, right here. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad it's Sabbath. Amen. One, it's the Lord's Day that He has made. But two, that means I don't have to paint. And that's a wonderful thing. We've been busy getting the house looking like home. And the last thing I wanted to mention is, maybe some of you are wondering, is the pastor going to make an appeal today? You don't have to wonder. I will be making an appeal at the conclusion of today's message. So I want you to know beforehand, so you can be praying about during the message about what the Lord is putting on your heart, what it is you need to decide today. So you can be praying about that. Let us bow our heads one last time. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, You have called us unto You. For it is You who loves us. It is You who has a word for us this day. A word that will fill the soul and transform our lives. And Father, it is my prayer that we may be hungry. Hungry for what is eternal and lasting. May You move us this day. May You transform us through Your word and through Your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yesterday, as the song kind of sort of said, all my troubles seem so close to me. The lyrics are kind of a little different, but that's okay. But yet there still remains possibly in your heart or maybe even in your mind, kind of right about here. The things that we kind of keep tucked away in the very back as time goes by and time goes by, but we're still possibly thinking about what was in the past. Your yesterday and my yesterday. Troubles that not only did they trouble me way back then, but it's August 6th, right? 2016, and I'm still troubled. Even though something could have occurred a long time ago. Yesterday. My troubles are actually a three-letter word. You know what that word is? Oh, yeah. You see, that's my problem. And guess what? Don't take this personal. It's your problem, too. The guy who looks nicely dressed has a problem with sin. The gray-haired and experienced, they have a problem with sin too. Even the young person who's full of vibrancy has a problem with sin. In fact, it affects you and it affects me. It affects all of us. Because sometimes we could be tempted to think, oh, it's just me who has committed a sin in their life. No, you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. That's the truth. So don't let the devil have you think, you know what, you're just such a terrible person. Can you believe you did that? Well, guess what? We're all sinners. I'm not saying that we should consent to sin either. But the truth is, we all have a sin problem. And here's the bad news about it. We all have it. Let's deal with yesterday. Because until we deal with yesterday, we'll never be able to get to what comes after yesterday. Yeah. How do we deal with it? Well, could there actually be good news for you? Could there be good news for me? Because all I do is turn on the tube and it's more bad news. I might even look in the mirror and it could be more bad news. I think about yesterday, man, that was depressing news. And I could be tempted to think about tomorrow, and I'm not too excited. The Bible says, behold what manner of love who? The Father has bestowed on who? Us. Who's the us? You're the us. I'm the us. We're the us. Behold. That's like God trying to say, looky here. Look at this. This is good. That God loves you and he loves me. He's bestowed it upon us. It's not just for the people on the chapel side. It's not just for the people in the balcony. It's not just for the people down here below. It's for all of us, the love of God. That we should be called what? We should be called what? The children of who? God. Last time I checked, God is amazing. God is King of kings and Lord of lords. He sits on majesty on high. And the Bible says that he calls us his children. When somebody meets my folks and then my folks say, that's my son, I get excited. Don't you when that happens? Why? Because that gives us a sense of pride. Me knowing that I'm a child of the King, oh, that makes me happy. That gives me hope. That gives me encouragement. And the other verse in the Bible that says good news. All of the Bible is good news, by the way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, our God loves us so much, he doesn't want you nor I to die. And without his son, we will die. But God loves us so much that rather than us dying eternally, Jesus died in our place. Let me rewind here. This morning, I'd like to take a look at what once upon a time, true story, a king wrote. A king who at one time in his life, he killed a 9-foot giant. He was named king. And then there was a banana peel that came his way. Know what I'm talking about? He slipped up. He slipped up and lusted. He slipped up and took the lust even further and slept with her. And then didn't stop there but had her husband killed to cover up his sin. Yeah, David. These two chapters are kind of like the bookcases of this experience that he had, of his experience with yesterday. The Bible says, Psalms 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your what? According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Excuse me. A lot of pain. The God that we have does not forgive you, neither forgives me, based on my goodness. The Bible says that he has mercy upon us. Why? According to his love. The Bible says that he's not merciful to me because of my behavior, per se. He's a merciful God to begin with, but he grants us mercy because he is merciful. I praise God for that. Because if it was up to me trying to appease God to try to get his favor, I could be there a while. But no, that's not our God. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Another way of saying blessed is happy. You see, when my sin is forgiven, there's like a jump in my step. Why? Because I know that there's nothing on my shoulders that's dragging me down. Happy is he or she whose sin is forgiven, and the opposite is also true. Unhappy, dreadful, depressed, beat down is the person who sin is not forgiven. So if I'm holding on to my sin, it starts showing up on me. I mean, things start hanging physically. The way I start treating my spouse goes negatively. The way I think about my neighbor doesn't seem too good. But when my sin is forgiven, you know, it could be raining cats and dogs, but I'm still happy-go-lucky. Why? Because my sin is forgiven. Amen. Happiness is not synonymous with sin. Though the devil would have us try to think it is. Never ever come to you and try to tell you, you know what, this is going to be fun. And then we do it, and then we realize, you know what, that's not too fun. Maybe for 1 second, there was pleasure. But the rest of the 59 seconds of that minute, I don't know how to get this thing off me. Because I want it gone, and it's not leaving. But happiness is not synonymous with sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You see, our gracious God, he's a specialist in taking your sin. Because if I were to bear my sin, it'd be too much for me. It'd be too much for you. And some of us are feeling that pain and strain right now. If God isn't going to put my sins on me, then who is he going to put them on? Because the Bible says that he doesn't put our iniquity on us. The Bible says, Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of who? Of us all. My sin goes on Jesus. Your sin goes on Jesus. Praise God. Isn't that good news? I mean, if I were to stand up here and start writing all my sins, there's not enough paper to write all that down. But there is one who can forgive us. There is one who can pay the price, and his name is Jesus. God knows the truth of the matter, too. Because have you ever sinned and tried to say, don't look at that? And try to kind of look good, even though what's over here looks bad? I've done that. Maybe you have too. God knows the truth of the whole story. In fact, I don't even have to tell God the story because he was there. But it's good for me to tell him my story. God doesn't like bad breath. Did you know that? Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, the Bible says that God does not like a spirit of deceit. God doesn't like a spirit of lies. And here's the thing about it. Bad breath. We don't like being around it. That's why in the morning, brush our teeth. All the dentists are saying amen. But here's the truth of the matter. We can only follow one spirit. This word breath found in Psalms, what we're taking a look at, is the word ruach, of which we get the word breath, other versions translated as spirit. You see, when I'm walking with Jesus, God's Holy Spirit tells me which way to go. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. He works in conjunction with the Word of God. It's not the Word of God going this way and the Holy Spirit going that way. It's actually the Word of God goes this way, and God's Holy Spirit leads me this way. Amen. They go consistently. Amen. When I hold on to my sin, look what happens. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. We feel it when we sin, and it doesn't feel good. It feels bad. It's heavy on us. We can't sleep. We lose our hair, or it turns gray. Why? Because we're worrying about my sin and how does it change from what it currently is. You see, I need to do something about my sin today. Today could be someone's last day here. I came to realize that when I finally stopped wrestling with the Lord. I was away at an academy like you. And I had grown up in the faith, my old man being an Adventist preacher. And I'd like playing a whole bunch of different sports. We were playing volleyball. And the other team served the ball over to me. And all I did was this. That's all I did. I didn't jump, I didn't dive, I didn't crash into a wall or to somebody else. All I did was, and the next moment of my life, I will never forget. I felt a sharp pain in my back, a pain that led me to the floor, and that night I did not walk again, as if I was paralyzed. And so there I am on the gymnasium floor looking up. And there's a number of things that you can think about when you're on the floor looking up. And I thought to myself, self, here I am. I can't move. But I sure can talk. I can breathe. I can think. But what if something in my life would have occurred that would have taken my life right now? I had known about God. I'd known about the love of Jesus, but yet I had yet to make a decision to follow Christ. I had yet to make a decision to invite Jesus into my heart. And there I made my decision on the floor. Jesus, come into my heart. Because I knew that if I were to have died that same day, I wasn't going. I was not ready to receive Jesus in his glory. And I'd like to say that all of us are ready to receive Jesus in all of his glory when he returns, but that's not the truth. I want to be ready. How about you? You see, the time to do something about my sin is not tomorrow. The time to do something about my sin is today. Because today could be our last day. But maybe God grants us another day. Are we going to keep on hanging on to that stuff? How long are we going to remain in sin? I said, what? Look at what David said. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, and you can say it with me, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Wow. You see, if I confess my sins to Jesus, does he forgive me or does he not forgive me? Yes, he does. But if I don't, does it? So I need to make a decision about my sin. I need to confess it to Jesus. He's the only one who can forgive us. Listen to this quote. Pardon comes through faith that the sin confessed and repented of is borne by the great sin bearer, Jesus Christ. Thus from Christ cometh all our blessings. His death is an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He is the great medium through whom we receive the mercy and favor of God. He then is indeed the originator, the author, as well as the finisher of our faith. You see, I have to confess my sin, or else God will not repent. I mean, God will not forgive me of my sin. David continues to say, for this cause, everyone who is godly will pray to you in a time when you may be found. What's God trying to tell us? Could there be a time in which God may not be found? Did God get lost? No, he didn't get lost, but there could be a time in which it's too late for me and too late for you. That is a reality. Everyone who is godly shall pray to you. This is the time more than ever to pray. I'm so glad that Wednesdays at 7 o'clock we can come together for prayer meeting. If you haven't been there lately, I make you an invitation. I don't know how that slipped in there. But surely, in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. When we have our sins forgiven, when we're praying to God, now the troubles, they seem to go that way rather than coming my way. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him, that's like praying, while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God. For what kind of pardon will he give us? God's not stingy with his pardon. God's not saying, you know what, I'll give you just a smidgen. No, God will abundantly pardon. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, when is the accepted time? Now. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There could be someone here who has yet to make their decision to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'd like to assume that we've all made that decision, but I can't take that for granted. I can't make that assumption. If you have not made your decision for Christ lately, or maybe have never made it at all, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to invite Jesus into our hearts. When I'm with Jesus, I don't have to run. When I'm not with Jesus, it feels like all I do is run. Running from this problem and that problem. Why? Because I made a mess over here and I made a mess over there. But when I'm with Jesus, I walk confidently. I walk peacefully. Why? Because I'm with him and he's with me. David then says, as the song says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. You see, when I'm in sin, I can't sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. I can't sing that song. I can't sing, would you be free from the burden of sin? Burden of sin. I got tons of it singing about would you be free from your burden of sin. It affects how we live this sin issue. It affects how I worship God. Anyone have their sins forgiven this past week? I had some sins that needed forgiving. Hallelujah. Don't keep on with these sins. The Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. I don't want to be part of that group. But he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Solomon wrote, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your paths. You see, God doesn't want to have us be like robots, or like a horse that needs bit and bridle as if we're controlled. No. God grants us choice. He tells us, you make up your mind. You can go this way and you can go that way. You make the choice. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to obligate you. My choice is to, first, I want to choose Jesus today. Today, I also want to trust Jesus. I don't want to trust me because the last time I trust me, I made a mess and a big one too. And the third choice I want to make is to follow Jesus. You see, I can come here to church and look like I'm following Jesus. But it's what happens outside those doors that really tells a story. If I follow Jesus or not. Aren't you glad that all you have to do is deal with yesterday? Those troubles that aren't so far away? See this good-looking couple? I'm not biased. You see, when I confess my sin to Jesus, I now have a choice to make. I remember that day, May 24th, 2009. I remember all the festivities. I remember seeing my wife come down as I received her at the altar. We said our vows. And then the minister said this, "I now declare you," what's that phrase? "Husband and wife." You see, I needed the minister to say those words, or else she'd still be my fiance and we wouldn't be able to be under the same roof. And that was one thing that was so different for me, that as we were driving from the reception to our brand new apartment, I was like, wow, now we live together. Now we are in the same place. Now we sleep in the same bed. And sometimes as we're about to go to sleep, I'll tell her, "I'll see you tomorrow." Because I will see her tomorrow, Lord willing. But you see, she is my wife. I am her husband. I have to believe in the declaration that has been made by the minister, which is the same kind of idea that we need to be thinking in regards to our sin. I need to believe that I'm declared righteous in Christ Jesus. Because the devil's going to come and try to have us remember what we've done and think, you know what, we're just a horrible person. But we need to believe that my sin has been forgiven. When the devil comes and tries to bring back memory lane, I need to say, "I'm forgiven. End of discussion. Out of my face. I'm on with my business." Because he does that garbage. Today, until we deal with yesterday, we can't deal with today. And today is actually that time. Psalms 51, verses 2 to 4, David says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." You see, David didn't just want forgiveness. David wanted a clean slate. He didn't just want to say, "I'm sorry, I've done X, Y, and Z." Believing God has forgiven me is very difficult if I'm still in sin. And this is what David was after. He declared before God his sin, and now he wanted to repent of his sin. We not only need to confess what we've done, we need to repent of what we've done. Some people think that confession and repentance is the same thing. Confession is where I tell God what I've done. And here's an illustration about repentance. Let's say, Monty, I come close to you, and I'm glad you moved your foot back. But let's just say I came close and stepped on your foot. And I say, "Monty, I'm sorry." You say, "You know what, Pastor? You're a nice guy. I forgive you." But then 2 minutes later, I come close to Monty and I step on his foot again. This time with a little bit more attitude. And I say, "I'm sorry, Monty." And he says, "I forgive you." I go on my way, but then I get inspired again. and I come and I sneak in a step on his foot. And he says, and I say, I'm sorry. And he says, I forgive you. What is Monty wanting? Okay, so what would true repentance be? Not stepping on his foot. That's what repentance looks like. It's where I stop doing what I was doing. Because just saying I'm sorry is lip service. And if I'm wondering, God, are you forgiving me? God is abundant in forgiveness. Forgiving God is not an issue or a challenge for him. But if I'm still doing my garbage and wondering if God has forgiven me, then I'm missing something. I need to confess and repent and believe. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a forgiving God. He's a merciful God and a God of justice. He calls it like he sees it. And I'm glad he does. David wants his sin gone completely. He doesn't want a trace of it around. What he wants is repentance. How about you? Are you wanting repentance? That's what I want. The day is coming when all who have committed sin will make confession, even though it is too late for them to receive pardon. Hello. Did you read that sentence? Right now we can get pardon. Praise God. But there will be a time in which I'm sorry will be too late. God waits long. I'll say that again. God waits long for the sinner to repent. He manifests a wonderful forbearance, but he must at last call the transgressor of his law to account. So he's wanting to grant us mercy and forgiveness, but at the end of the day, he still is a God who judges. You see, we as Adventists believe that we've been given a message that changes the world. It's called the everlasting gospel, found in the three angels' messages. Kind of like that Noah dude who was preaching it was going to rain. Yeah, we have a message like it too that seems a little strange. But nonetheless, it will come true. But there's a precursor to the three angels' messages. And we find that in Revelation 14. Talking about the 144,000. Here the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 3 of Revelation, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were what? Redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb where? Whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now here's the verse that really stands out. And in their mouth was found no guile. Other versions say deceit. For they are without fault before the throne of God. These people, they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. These people, like David, say, I don't want to just say I'm sorry. I want to repent of my sin. Because let me ask you, how am I going to tell somebody about Jesus if I'm still stuck in my sin? Sounds a little difficult, don't you think? Psalms 51, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me. You could be thinking, you know what? I was born this way, so I might as well just keep on sinning. No, the Bible says, behold, you desire truth where? in the inward parts. And this is where everything changes. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Have you ever noticed on those pictures about Jesus knocking on the door, there's never a doorknob on the outside? Look for it. You won't find it. And it has everything to do with the fact that the door only opens from the inside. It's the door of my heart. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And also out of the abundance of the heart, so we do what we do. The issue is my heart. Is Jesus in my heart? Because if Jesus is in my heart, then when I see temptation, it is repulsive, and I go the other way. The Bible continues to say that sins forgiven equate to happiness. But not just that. Repentance from sins equates transformation. Because people are waiting to see what God can do in your life. What God can do in my life. What's the transformation? I want to follow God's Holy Spirit. So that when people see you and I, they see someone who's been with Jesus. What am I teaching others with my life? Am I teaching other people that I'm just like everybody else? Or am I teaching people that I'm a child of the King, that this world is not my home, and that someday soon I will see Jesus in all of his glory? Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You, like, are soon to be missionary, will teach many about God. You will lead others to the Savior as we have Jesus in our hearts, our sins forgiven and repented of. I'd like to think I'm that black sheep. Maybe sometimes you feel like you're a black sheep. And today what God is wanting is, as David wrote, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I don't know what's in your heart today. I don't know what pain there is from others doing things towards you. I don't know what pain there could be from our own bad choices. I don't know what pain there could be because we just live in a sinful world. But today, Jesus wants to do something in your life. Today is the day of salvation. I'd like to share a song of appeal, which is an invitation for you. It's an invitation for me. An invitation to confess, not to me, not to anybody else, but to Jesus, our sin. An invitation for us to repent of our sin. And maybe, just maybe, someone here needs to invite Jesus into their heart the first time, or maybe yet again after many times. And so, if this appeal is for you, as I'm singing, I'd like to invite you to come forward. Come forward saying, Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, I confess my sin to you. Jesus, I repent and come into my heart. Let us listen. And church, be praying. For God is going to do mighty things this day. Thy compassions may fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faith. I see all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. It is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Joy with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath borne my head. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, God is faithful, and he's calling us to him, to look to his love, to look to his mercy and compassion. Don't you want to be faithful to Jesus? Don't you want to accept his pardon? Today is the day of salvation. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine known dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000. 1,000 besides.
Great is my faithfulness.
Morning by morning. Mercies I see. All I have and hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me you're a loving father. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what we've gone through. Today your healing balm in the shed blood of Jesus Christ is available to us, and we accept it by faith. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, your only Son. We ask that this day, O Father, you may forgive and lead us to repentance, and that you will give us a song to sing and a message to share. Bless your children. In Jesus' name, amen.